Hello, and welcome back to An Encouraged Heart. I appreciate you being here with me. We're going to continue in our study of living victoriously in difficult times. We're on page 26 if you have the workbook. If not, as always, grab your Bibles. Before we start looking at 1 Peter, we're going to, of course, open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you're with us today. We ask that you would just continue to open up our understanding to your word. And we pray that your spirit would continue to work in our hearts as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do some markings as always. So I'd like you to, when I come to the pronouns you and your, you're going to circle it. And those pronouns refer to the believer. And when I read any reference to the word suffering, if you would also mark that with a squiggly line. Okay, so again, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Here you should have circled your. Verse 19, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Here you should have marked suffering. Verse 20, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? Here, of course, you should have circled the pronouns. There were two words there. You was mentioned twice. And also, there is a phrase, harshly treated. I did mark that because, of course, that references suffering. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So here, I also, of course, circled the pronouns there. There are two words there you mentioned twice. And, of course, the word suffer as well. So going on to verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So here the word you was mentioned four times. So if you could circle those. And also the word suffered was also mentioned, of course. So please mark that as well. Okay. Now, before I read through the passage without interruption, there is one more marking that I would like you to pay attention to. We're going to look for the phrase, this finds favor. And I think without going through all four scriptures, I'm going to just focus on those particular verses where we see this finds favor. We're going to box those. We're going to put a box around the entire phrase, this finds favor. So we're looking at verse 19, of course. We can clearly see in the beginning of that verse, it says, for this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. So go ahead and put a box around that phrase, this finds favor. In verse 19, we see that phrase repeated at the end of verse 20. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So again, we're going to box that phrase, this finds favor. Okay, now without interruption, let's go ahead and read through those scriptures, okay? Starting with verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? For if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Okay? So, as always, we have several questions that I like to read and share my thoughts. And feel free, as I've said before, if you have insight or any comments, you can certainly send me an email or voicemail with your comments. Okay? So, the very first question. In what way are servants instructed to respond to their masters? Clearly, it says in verse 18 that servants are instructed to submit and be respectful to their masters. They are to yield their will not only to those who are good and kind, but to those who are not reasonable. Okay, moving on to the next question. What did you learn from marking suffering? What reason is given in this passage for the suffering of believers? And also, I'm going to combine the third question with this. What finds favor with God? Okay, I think they're all related, of course. In this passage, we read that suffering may occur due to, of course, mistreatment by an unreasonable authority figure. Also, we found out that it could be because of sin. For example, in verse 20, it says that we get no credit for suffering because of our own wrongdoing. Also, we suffer for doing what is right. As believers, when we choose to bear the pain when suffering unjustly, out of reverence for God, this pleases him. We also find favor with God when we do what is right and choose to patiently endure the suffering. As believers, we know Christ is our example. As it says in verse 21, we are to follow in his steps. We are to look at how he responded during times of suffering. Okay, so I combined those questions together. So I'm looking at now the fourth question, which says, according to verse 21, for what purpose have believers been called? And we're referencing, of course, verse 21. It says, Jesus suffered on our behalf, and as his followers, part of our purpose is to do likewise, to endure pain and suffering for doing what is right. Okay? We're going to continue in 1 Peter. We're looking at the same chapter, chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Now here in these several verses, I'd like you to mark each reference to Christ that I read, including any pronouns, okay? And you're going to do that by making a little cross on top of the word or next to the word. Okay, so again, you're looking to each reference to Christ, including pronouns, with a cross. Okay, so verse 21, again, I'm just repeating what I just read in the previous passage. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So, of course, put a little cross right above the word Christ and also the pronoun his. Okay? The next verse, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And I saw two instances to, of course, make a marking, who and also his. Verse 23, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. So, of course, across there, above he, while suffering, he uttered no threats. Okay, another cross to make. but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Okay, so in this particular verse, verse 23, there were three pronouns referenced. He was twice in himself. Okay, and the him that is towards the end of that verse is referring to God the Father. Verse 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. So clearly we have three words to mark here. So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. So we have this last pronoun as well to mark. So I'm going to do a reading of all the verses without interruption. Okay. Starting back on verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read the discussion questions on page 28 for those who have the workbook. The first question, look at each place you mark Jesus and note what you observed about his example and suffering. Discuss the specific actions Jesus took or chose not to take in response to suffering. Okay, so let's see here. There are a couple of things here that, of course, that was mentioned. We know that we have been called to do what is right, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for us. He is our example, and we are called to follow in his footsteps. Okay, and that was, of course, mentioned in verse 21. We also know, as we continue reading through the passage, that Jesus never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. That was referenced in verse 22. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He put his trust in God the Father, who always judges fairly or righteously, it says, and that's, of course, referencing verse 23. We read in verse 24 that Jesus bore sins in his body on the cross so that we are free from sin and that we might live righteously. And it also says by his wounds we have been healed. So again, we know that Jesus carried our sins on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live righteously. Okay, the next question, in what ways do people usually respond when they are treated harshly or unjustly? Quite often, I think our nature is to retaliate and try to just lash out at whomever is inflicting pain. So that is typically what I think we do. The next question, it says, based on what you observed from the response of Jesus when he suffered, what specific things should you do or not do when faced with suffering? Okay. Well, like Jesus, we are not to take circumstances into our own hands, but trust God and know that he judges righteously. He sees all things. And again, he does give us strength to endure and to be steadfast. And again, to just have that confidence in him that he will make things right. And also, there is a key word that is found in the insight box that I'm going to go ahead and read that before I look at the next question. The key word that we already found and read in verse 23 is revile. And just to clarify, that word means to verbally abuse. Okay. Moving on then to the next question, which is, how does your life align with Christ's example? when others see you suffering, what similarities or differences do they notice between you and Jesus? I think that I have not always endured suffering patiently. So this is certainly an area where growth is still needed. This requires, from my part, a lot of prayer and certainly help with the Holy Spirit. We did learn in week one, for example, that God gives the believer inner strength to enable him to be steadfast, to patiently wait in the midst of difficult circumstances. So I know that the growth that I need to take as far as patiently enduring suffering is not something that I'm going to do all by myself. I will do that with the help of the Lord as well. Okay. I'm going to wrap up today's lesson here. We will continue in 1 Peter next time and also look at one verse out of Hebrews 5. So again, thank you for joining me. I pray all is well. God bless you, and I'll see you next time. Take care.